why would someone protest a request for an alcohol permit?
Yeah, I was a bartender before I lost my job in the service industry and was able to go back to school, which I'm a student at UCLA. And I was assigned this photoethnography project this year in 2023. In January in particular was when I was photographing these staple establishments that had either closed or were sold. What we saw was during the pandemic, a lot of this development was really halted. In January of this year, I noticed a lot of those projects actually being accelerated. So the pace of these businesses going out of business and then being replaced in Highland Park, particularly on Figueroa Street, was happening so fast. There was 5 notices to sell alcoholic beverages at once. Our neighborhood council was hearing a case for Highly Likely to support their permit. When a business applies for a permit with the State Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, they are not forced to, but they typically go before the neighborhood council and they ask for support. So they tell you about their project and then the board can decide whether they think it's a good idea. The day that I decided to join was February 2nd when Highly Likely was asking for support. There were so many community concerns. I just thought none of those concerns were actually heard. The board voted to support it and really didn't even suggest any conditions. So I called ABC because I saw that there was no date posted on their notice. Then they asked me if I wanted to protest the permit and I didn't even know that was a thing. And so I said, sure. And it wasn't just a decision to protest in front of the business. I took the legal route with ABC to ask questions and in terms of their hours of operation and does alcohol complement their food at all? Is it necessary? And what would that do, to other businesses like our pizza spot, Foleros? They just sell pizza, or Mason's Dumplings just sells dumplings. Highly Likely a representative who tried to get in contact with me before offered one of the nonprofits or organizations that I work with to protest these further permits in our neighborhood. They offered him a donation. They offered him money. They stated, hey, we want to give you money. Again, this is a representative of Highly Likely saying, we want to give you money and we want to work with you to test the limits of what I would accept to back off.
So for those who would say that you're unfairly targeting Highly Likely, that any kind of new business or development in the neighborhood is good for the growth of the neighborhood, what would you say to that?
This is not a small business, a business that has ties to a family who has a history of lawsuits, who has a history of alleged employee misconduct. When we invite any business into the neighborhood, we should ask those questions well, yes, they will provide jobs. Will those jobs be good? And what we see a lot of the time, too, is that an incoming business like Highly Likely requesting an alcohol permit, they don't live in the neighborhood. They don't have kids that go to our schools. Their spouse or their families don't have to deal with the parking like we do. And if you look at where there's an over concentration of permits, it's in lower income neighborhoods. It's not in Woodland Hills. It's not in Beverly Hills. It's not in Westwood, really, where I go to school. It's where we call home, and it's turning into a playground for the rich. This business is going to encourage more corporate interest in our historically working class neighborhood.
And you mentioned that a lot of the regulatory process in obtaining an alcohol permit has favored corporate businesses. What exactly about the regulatory process has enabled this pattern?
I'm trying to figure that out, to be honest. All I can say based off of my research and countless meetings, whether it's the business association meetings, our tenants union meetings, the neighborhood council land use meetings, you hear it over and over and over again that there's this fear of being priced out, whether you're a smaller business or a long-term resident that have called this neighborhood a home long before these landlords have even been alive, to be honest with you, is what we're seeing. Gentrification doesn't just happen. It happens in waves, and it doesn't stop until a neighborhood is completely under corporate control. So when we have landlords who are interested in getting more rent, they will typically invite a restaurant that acts as a bar, which means that they have later hours and can prioritize nighttime economy as well as daytime economy, which means that they need an alcohol permit typically, or a bar straight up. I mean, if you look at Figueroa, we have 20 permits in a 5-block radius. What that does is tells other landlords, the person next to you is asking this much for rent. Maybe you can too. What happens is that smaller businesses can't satisfy that rent increase demand. And so they're priced out. It's just, it's happening and it has already happened. And to satisfy those rent increase demands, I mean, you hear it all the time, you need an alcohol permit. And I think there's multiple things happening, which is like the bureaucracy to start a business in LA. It shouldn't be this much. It shouldn't be so expensive to the point where we can't have mom and pop shops anymore. We can't have an immigrant Filipina who wants to open one shop and is constantly at the mercy of their landlord, you know, who might want to invite a highly likely who can satisfy egregious amount of rent. But what it does also is it prices out residents, because who's going to sustain those businesses, you know, that charge a certain amount for a drink? I mean, what business owners are also doing in Highland Park are they're buying residential property and they're evicting longtime tenants who maybe don't spend their money at their bars or expensive restaurants because they can't. We can't afford it. On the regulation level, our California Alcoholic Beverage Control Department is funded by these annual licensing fees, which, if you ask me, it's a direct conflict of interest because things have gotten so deregulated. And I understand that it was to help businesses during the pandemic. And the enforcement team who are supposed to look into DUIs or over-serving or underage serving, or maybe even the imbalance now, we have more bars than any other service, right? For our youth or our elderly, our families. We're being told by the enforcement team of ABC that they're short on staff. So it doesn't make sense to add more bars when you can't even really kind of keep the ones that exist in check. But we're also dealing with the restaurant beverage program, which accelerates the alcohol permit process for restaurants and eliminates the public hearing portion. No one really knows whose job it is to regulate these bars anymore and also to support businesses who can't keep up with the bureaucracy.
What have been the effects of how unmanageable the amount of alcohol permits in this neighborhood is?
Both as a pedestrian and within my car, almost gotten into a collision or gotten hit by someone I would suspect is driving under the influence. And I've been a bartender before that I know that this has to do with happy hour. So it's not just later at night. You're seeing this on the weekends, you know, during brunch, where a lot of our brunch spots sell alcohol. You're seeing this also late at night. One of the more, I think, problematic issues too that no one talks about is that I can't imagine what this feels like for our elders and our youth who used to find it safe. There's a lack of concern for public safety in regard to the amount of bars that we allow to operate without even following their operating restrictions. A lot of these places have to abide by certain volume levels. We have bars that are operating with unauthorized outdoor patios, obstructing the sidewalk, making it harder for pedestrians. I would say sometimes walking around and seeing like the nightlife here, it feels very much like I'm not even a stranger in my own home. I'm like an unwanted guest because I don't feel like any of these businesses are trying to cater to those of us who grew up here, who want to have some semblance of familiarity, some semblance of home and safety. And I know that there's conversations about, well, it's safer now in Highland Park than it used to be. There's an ongoing conversation about gangs and gentrification and what that feels like for some people. But for me, it feels like it's solely set on catering to a wealthier class of people who are typically visitors to our neighborhood. And so there's no stake in them respecting the people who live here in terms of noise volumes. There's no stake in them respecting us when they get behind the wheel, you know, because this is not their home. I can't imagine what it must feel like for, you know, the señoras or the kids that I work with, who have asked me, you know, where they will go when they too, like the murals in our neighborhood, like the affordable food options, when they disappear, like those things have from our neighborhood and have turned into, you know, what it is now, which feels like an amusement park sometimes.
How do you think your definition of safety is different from the newcomers in this neighborhood.
When you have places, or when you are at least aware that there's a space for our youth on the same block that you're drinking, right? Like, we used to have a skate shop here that you didn't have to buy anything. You could just go and hang out there. It was a family-owned business. When you're kind of aware of that space, and also we had a bookstore that was a community space right across the street from where Highly Likely is opening. It had free events. It had family-friendly events. I think when you have that balance, that you have more awareness that your actions are impacting others. And so when you're walking along Fig and you don't see any kids, or you don't see any elderly or families because the businesses don't necessarily cater to them after a certain hour, or like on the weekends maybe, it's easy to put your own preferences or this idea of profit over people, you know. So I think what feels safe to me is being in community, being aware that there's space for kids there, space for our elderly, our families are also here.
Do you feel like gentrification in Highland Park is too far gone, or is there something that can be done right now?
What I know about gentrification is that it is not inevitable. We're still here, you know. We still have longtime residents, people that grew up in the neighborhood, people who remember when it was a certain way. We still have a third of our population that speaks Spanish only. Like, they're still here. So I think, like, we're ready to have that conversation locally on a neighborhood council level, which does include talking about alcohol permits. We are really going to see some fundamental change, starting with not just alcohol permits, but just that larger conversation of trying to bring back the balance to our neighborhoods.
And going back to the protest for a little bit, what is that going to look like moving forward?
Protests work. I've learned that because I'm now in conversations with our assembly member, Wendy Creo's office, Senator Durazo's office, Gavin Newsom's office. It works because we make noise. They are forced to listen to us.
And how has your personal relationship with your community changed as a result of the protest?
It's a full-time job. It's a full-time commitment. I am ready to do that because it's not over till it's over, you know, and we're really going to try our best to not just facilitate these conversations, but to put them into action.